Today's text from Matthew 25 is, I want to focus especially on one central portion of 44 and 45. Then they, the goats, they will also answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he, Jesus, will answer, the Lord will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And so our title for today's message is, I didn't see you. Let's pray. Father, in a moment of desperation, we cry out to you for a word, a solid word. A word that we can hear in our own spirit and know that it's from you. And so as far as possible, but knowing that you will use the human element, but communicate, Lord, through your spirit, through the divine instrument of this word, directly with your people, that you will receive the glory and we will receive the instruction that we so need in this time. We ask in Jesus' name, come Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is talking, and these past few weeks we've been immersed in parables and stories that Jesus tells to give us a lesson. And in doing so, we've had some pretty stark pictures painted for us. Some pretty good insights, necessarily, but also, in kind of a backdoor fashion, we hear the Lord saying something about himself. And so here we have in this passage today, Jesus starts a story. And it's a pretty harsh story. It's about separating sheep and goats, and some living forever in blessing and others into blessed eternal punishment. But just look at the gem at the beginning of the story as Jesus references himself. And we have the hindsight and the blessing of the scripture. But please, before we get to the rest of this, let's just hear Jesus talk about himself. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. Sometimes when we wonder how Jesus, in his full humanness, was able to face and address the cross and embrace the cross, and then go and allow himself to be attached firmly to it and then to die, we see a man, God, who has insight into the future kingdom. Who knows that if a supreme price is paid, if something, a cost is paid, and that the punishment for the weight of sin of the world is placed on him, if he endures that, we see he plainly and firmly understands the outcome. But the message he bore that day is a striking one. It's a stark one. And I thought I knew what I was going to preach about today. And when Joy left the parsonage at 10 till 10, I was wrestling fiercely because I just had my whole sermon undone by an insight. I'm prying into this and looking at it and thinking I knew this. I didn't see you. When did I see you, Lord? I didn't see you. I didn't know. I didn't. And I thought, I'm really going to give them hell. You know, the punishment of the damned, the eternal, everlasting knowledge that they had not done what the Lord wanted them to do. But then I reread the text. I didn't see you. I realized the sheep were the first ones to say it. Lord, when? When did I see you? Hungry. Poor, naked. And then after all of that, we hear the ones who were the goats go, Lord, we didn't see you. I went, oh, well, there goes the whole sermon. Got to help me now, Jesus. What's going on? What's at stake? An inheritance. He separates the sheep from the goats like shepherds separate their sheep from goat herds. Two immensely different, dissimilar creatures, except that they can offer milk. But you have the character of these animals, very different, necessitating attention from the shepherd, but knowing that on one side is an inheritance. And the Lord invites in this parable he gives. Well, actually, I don't know if it's a parable. He says, then the king will say, I think that's what he plans to say at the separating. And who in the entirety of creation has the right to claim, to make a distinction between one and another? Who is there who can say to one, you're a sheep, and the other, you're a goat, in the same family? Except Jesus Christ, the Lord, the ruler. And he says, come and you will inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. Folks, there's a place prepared for everyone. God made plenty of room. He made a room for everybody. And he made room at the cross for every soul. And if that soul would only accept, just accept the free offer of grace, the forgiveness of sins, that person has a place prepared. Prepared. Your choice today to accept Christ will not surprise God. He won't say, oh, let's get St. Peter over and get a spot. Oh, we got to make room. And at the marriage feast of the Lamb, we need to set another place. No. Rather, it be like this church sanctuary today, where there's been seats provided for another 80 people. At the marriage feast of the Lamb, the capability will have been to receive all. The whole world. You see, the heart of the king is for all. He wants all to experience the benefit of what he has accomplished on the cross. Sin, death, brokenness has been defeated. And we are the inheritors of this kingdom. But there's a problem. This story has teeth in it. He says, come and receive your inheritance. Those who gave me food when I was hungry. Those that gave me water when I was thirsty. Those who welcomed me when I was a stranger. When I was naked and you covered me. When I was sick, you nursed me, or when I was in prison, and you came over to the prison and visited me. And then verse 9, the sheep say, and when did we see you sick or in prison? When did we see these things? You see, it turns out that for the sheep, there was something in their nature that reflected Christ. They didn't see with their physical eyes, but they saw in the spirit the hungry, the needy, the poor, the naked, the victim, the stranger, the criminal. Something in them that reflected Jesus loved, and embraced. I confess to you that when I see a lady holding a bucket of flowers and holding a piece of cardboard around her neck that says, single mom, I pray for that light to change fast. I don't want my car to have to come to rest anywhere near that person. And then I just tell myself, you know, she probably has a better car than I have. In those moments, I'm not seeing. Con artist, yes. Someone who is maybe got mixed motives, most definitely. Someone who's probably seen more of life than the bottom of my shoes? Most likely. Someone Jesus loves. You see, for Jesus to accept his responsibility and inherit his kingdom, he had to shoulder a load that included an awful lot of people we consider as human flotsam, discarded. Jesus went ahead and purchased everybody. He went ahead and purchased the murderers and the hungry. And while we joke about, you know, shaking the arm of a guy from Somalia and it falling off, talk about pulling the wing off a turkey, some of the craziness I read on Facebook this week, Jesus paid for them with his life. And I just sometimes can't see. But that's with the eyes of the flesh. For true sheep, there's a quality, a purity and a simplicity in them. And they, you know, we fuss at them and we say, you're just giving money away. Oh, you're just wasting your time with Heifer International. Those people, they need to be taught how to fish, not how to eat fish. You know, and on and on. But in that heart, there's a quality that was resident in the beginning of time, but became horribly marred through sin. But with time and salvation, as they receive this gift of the cross, something funny happens, and that polishing effort of Jesus just begins to renew and restore that image of Christ. That lens of Jesus begins to be clearer. And then it's just a matter of life. As they see people loving, they give. As people are hurting, they care. When they are naked, they are clothing people not to earn salvation, but out of an intrinsic goodness that's being restored. I'm glad I lost this sermon this morning. I might not have been able to preach. Come and receive the good that has been prepared for you. Then he looks at others and he says, depart from me. Because I was in all of these conditions I've mentioned, and you never fed me, clothed me. And you know, I have to think of Jesus going about in the world 2,000 years ago like these victims. I know that Jesus was in fact hungry. I know in fact that he slept in places where he had no bed or any place to rest his head. I know for a fact that Jesus numbered himself among the poorest people who ever lived. I know that he was considered criminal by people in authority. I know that he was wounded for our transgressions with ghastly, horrific wounding, and we were not offering him comfort. And I know that in the end, he died a pauper's criminal death. Is there one who has a right then to speak to the guilt or innocence of the created beings except Christ? He says, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. And in fact, did it to me. What happened when I got up out of my chair and I told Joy, I said, I just lost my sermon. I have no idea. And I said, I don't know what. She said, you looking for your glasses? I said, I don't know where they're at. I can't see without them. And she said, well, you can't see with them because they're on your head. Duh. Sermon moment. Turns out that neither a sheep nor a goat can make the right choice intrinsically in and of who they are. Just because we want to be good or earn something Or are we just mad at the world, or we can see ourselves as victims and not choose to. We can't trust our eyes, whether we're good or we're bad. The sheep aren't celebrating today because they can see. The goats aren't languishing in fear and horror because they're not going to see. It's a quality, a regenerative quality, this sight. And Jesus will say to those goats, "Depart. For I was hungry, and you despised me." Well, you didn't see. There's an unregenerate quality in you. There will be an unregenerated quality in those who maybe acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ, have acknowledged in their head that he was a person historically, and that probably a lot of the Bible is true, and that he may even be a son or the Son of God, but they have not surrendered to him. To acknowledge a goat, to say a goat can get in, is to say that all that sin and all that brokenness, God's just going to look away from it. To the person who is repeatedly raped in her lifetime, to the people who were robbed and beaten mercilessly, to those who have been inflicted with the crimes of humanity, there will be no answer in heaven for them if God has not judged utterly and completely every bad deed and every wrong thing. There will be no answer for those who have suffered in Jesus' name. You better believe there will be a moment of reckoning, and hell is the result. The place reserved for the devil and his angels is now opened for those who must face that judgment. Those who remain in their sin will be just as guilty as the day they were born into sin. And the one who has the right to distinguish doesn't care about the goat's protest, because what is wrong is being made right. Those who are the sheep are actually standing there observing. Jesus didn't judge the goats first and then send them away. No, he told the sheep, "Gather around me, receive." And then he turns to address the goats. In full view, they have every wrong answered, every injustice checked off, every victimization made right in that moment. The sheep will stand vindicated as the goats go into perdition. And so, sheep, if you're here today among the goats, know that the goodness in your heart is not your own. It is not your eyesight that saves you. It is the feeling that comes through the goodness God is generating in your heart. You keep on giving. You keep on being taken in, suckers. You keep on giving and giving, because the one who gets to judge sees. Jesus is restoring his own image in us. And often the goodness he comes looking for, we didn't know we had. I didn't see. I just had common human compassion. No, you had a heaven-given compassion, because I'm working a miracle in you. And so we come back to this string of parables we're listening to, and we know that the virgins should have had all. They really thought they had enough. We know that the guy entrusted with one talent just knew he'd better get through with the skin of his teeth, because the master would punish him. And so he failed to produce. And then we have this story of the goats and the sheep, and we realize there is nothing intrinsically in us that can cause good. Oh, a sinner might feed another sinner a meal. And there are far greater things that people do who are in the world than many Christians do for the world. But because none of that will save you in the end, this goodness comes through what Christ has accomplished on our behalf. And so, everything that is done, whether it is good or evil, Jesus considers it done to himself. When we see the poor, when we see the victim, we see the poor drunk or addict to drugs, when we see people Jesus loves so much, he decided to become them. Everything we do from that moment we either do or we don't do to Christ. Let him who has ears hear. Let she who has sight see. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.